Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to our show today. Jill and I talk today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about working 90 hours a week in the beginning to avoid working a 40-hour job. I think you might know where this is going. Mm-hmm. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Pete asks, I have some areas where the average lots are selling for $9,000 to $14,000 and up. There are many lots available. I would love to know what offer price people would start with. I don't know, offer $2,000 and sell for $7,000. Is offering $3,000 reasonable, which is 33% of the lowest retail? ?
Yeah, I think that if there's a lot of available properties, which is non-quantifiable variable in pricing, then I would definitely scrape the bottom of the lower portion of the pricing scenario. So yeah, I mean, that's the key here. And the other thing I would look at is days on market. So if you've got properties that there's a lot of property available and there's really long days on market, like more than 200 days or 300 days, which is a year, frankly, I'd move on. I wouldn't even send an offer campaign in that area. What you want is real low days on market, not a ton of availability, but some availability so you can price it right. And then you want to go in around 40, 50, 60%. So, I mean, that's just personally what I would do. It seems, I don't know, Pete, if you're new or not, it's hard to tell this from here, but if there's a ton of availability and a really long days on market, go in and at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And really don't expect to get a lot. Because you want to find a market that's that's really cool. Like, man, I would like to. If you find yourself doing this as an investor, boy, I think maybe I should. If I get one of these properties for this cheap, I should keep it. If you find yourself doing that, you're going to do great.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of availability too. It's hard to differentiate your property from other properties, so you might be sitting with it for a little while. So if you come in low, You can afford to let it just sit there. I would roll it into my inventory. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But just be ready for it.
There's got to be something good about your property that differentiates it from everything else that's on the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jill and I have literally gone to Home Depot and bought one of those cool sheds that are out in the parking lot and had it delivered to a property. Mm-hmm. Took a bunch of pictures and just, you know, said, yeah, there's a shed on the property and now it's different than every other piece of property out there. And it sells really fast.
Now we can buy a yurt like Luke.
A yurt.
That came up the other day. One of our members found yurt zoned property. What the heck? That's a new one. I didn't know that was out there. So we were joking about that. Put a yurt on it, Pete.
One night in a yurt and it would be over.
Oh my goodness. I just can't even say the word yurt.
That's so funny. Everybody's saying, what the hell's a yurt?
I'm going to do that tonight. We're out. We're going to go. What are you guys doing? We invest in
a yurt.
Yurts.
Is a Mongolian teepee.
I'm a yurt distributor. That's my new job.
I'm a yurt dealer.
I'm a yurt dealer. What color would you like? You want a two-bedroom or a one-bedroom?
That'd be cool. You put a bunch of yurts together.
I'm going to do that. I like to do that sometimes because, you know, you go out and you just don't want to talk about what you really do because you're like, oh, it's
I'm a yurt dealer.
I'm a yurt dealer.
Oh, my God, Jill, that's awesome.
I'm going to totally say that. That's
next
my new line.
Cocktail party we go to.
Tonight. We have one tonight.
I know we do.
Yeah. I am going to be I'm Texas's largest yurt dealer. You dare me to say that?
Yes.
I would have totally said that.
Oh my gosh. I'll pay you.
I'm going to write this down and our friend's going to go, she told you what?
How to Lose Friends Quickly by Jill DeWitt.
I have a whole show about it too. It's really big. Yeah. I'm on my third book. I'm serious. I'm going to do that. I got to see the look on their face, dude.
We're the largest yurt dealer in North America.
Yes, we are. Who knew?
Right.
It's a thing.
I love it.
That's so good. Our new show, Yurt 101.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic, Is it crazy to work 90 hours a week to avoid working a 40-hour job? We're going to find out. This is the meat of the show. Jill, you know where this is going, right?
You know, Jack, I think I know. I wrote down what it means to me.
Yes, what does it mean to you, okay. Sweetheart?
Oh, no. Here we go. Thanks a lot. Yes, Jill, tell us what you think that means. Yurt is. Just kidding. All right. So here's, based on the title, we know what that means. How many of us are working 40 hours a week to avoid a 90 hours a week to avoid a 40-hour job? Okay, so that's being my own boss. That's what I do and we do because I don't want to be a 40-hour, 9-to-5 kind of person. And you know what? I love it. We do it.
We do it.
And it doesn't feel like work.
That's right, Jill. Thank you.
So
we can stop the show right now.
Okay. So that's my point number one. We do it and it doesn't feel like work. So if it's the right thing, if it's something you're really passionate about and you enjoy, it's even though when you sit and add it up, you're going, boy, I didn't take a day off. I mean, that's really what happens. You and I both, we technically don't really take a day off. We work 7 days a week. I'm always available doing something towards this, but I'm passionate about it and I love it and it doesn't feel like work to me. And it's interesting because when I talk to other people, when I talk to people about my yurt investing, but you can see if I bring up the words land, rural vacant land, and I bring up data, you can see
data.
Their eyes gloss over.
We own a real estate data company. Oh, it's nice knowing you.
And mailing and that, you can just see it. People
your data people have a nice life.
Oh, and we're out. Yep. You know, there's a lot of people out there who don't get it. It's not their thing. They don't get excited about it. And that's fine. You know, and that's why I don't get excited about their things, you know, whatever it is. So I get it. So that's my point number one. My point number two is about working this much. I've had that 40 hour. Most of us had. You have at one time,
yeah.
Jack, in your life, had that 9-to-5 job where you lived for 3-day weekends and you lived for vacation. You lived for Friday afternoon, you know, and man, I don't miss it. Do you?
Oh my gosh, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, no. So, I mean, the whole point of this is you do not, if you have a terrible 40-hour job, you know, like most people who do have 40-hour jobs, I'm not saying quit your job. I'm just saying prepare yourself that, you know, when you get in business for yourself or hopefully start a side business while you still have a job, it's going to consume all your time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't know what you're doing, and you shouldn't know what you're doing because if you're brand new, you expect to fail, the whole thing. So, yeah, I mean, the weekend's coming up here, and I'm going to spend the vast majority of the weekend filming How to Buy Houses program.
Funny.
And I don't look at it as work. I love doing it.
Isn't that great? That's me too. It's like Monday through Friday, we have our regular investment stuff that we got to do, and we have employees and stuff. So on the weekends, okay, now I can sit down and think about my book.
Yeah.
And do those other things. And so I'm still working, but it's different stuff, and I enjoy it all, really. So, you know, I have one third point, if it's okay.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so my third point is, for anyone who's in this or thinking about doing this or whatever, you know what? It may be nutty now, but it will pay off.
90 hours a week. Do Jill and I have to do this at all? Nope. Jill and I are done.
Sure.
We're done financially for the rest of our lives. And I bet we work, each of us, 90 hours a week.
I bet you're right. And you know what? I think our work-life balance is just fine.
So do I, Jill.
Yeah.
That's nice for you to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it. I think, you know, because when we're done, we kind of like communicate with each other when we're done. And then we go have some fun.
Mm-hmm. And there's days that we're going to kill it in the morning. I'm like, okay, now I'm burnt out. Hey, you want to go have lunch and just
go have a movie. Go see
a
movie.
Sure. You want to go on some bikes? Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
And
Jill,
it might be Tuesday afternoon because we know we're going to work Saturday and Sunday and Monday and whatever. And
plus, we get to have a ton of quality time together while we record this show.
Oh, that's true. That's how I see it. This is my quality time with you, Jack.
This is what happens before we record the show. Jill, do you have just one more show in you?
Oh, I'm so tired. I have stuff I got to do. Just kidding.
This podcast is the greatest way for me to avoid what I'm supposed to be doing.
I know.
There ever was.
Now I realize that was the whole point of this. We're going to start a podcast because I just want to talk and not work right now. Just kidding. No.
If you don't like what you do for a living and your bills are, there's too much, you know, you're just doing it because you got to have some bills, get rid of your bills.
Yeah.
If somebody in your life is saying 90 hours a week, you're crazy.
Right.
You work 40 hours at that job over there. What's wrong with that? And you're right. Like, what? This person doesn't get it. Get rid of that person.
And you know what? I just thought of something to add. 90 hours a week does not mean take your 40-hour job and make it a 90-hour job, because you don't get an award, by the way.
Yeah, you know, I did that.
Right?
I worked 90 hours a week in public accounting.
This is funny. Remember you and I had this discussion? Did we decide it was East Coast, West Coast?
Yeah.
Okay. Because Jack goes, well, hang on a minute. Everybody on the East Coast, you know, you try to do 80 hours. Like, you're like, you show up on Friday going, all right, I just put in 65 hours this week, and you're bragging about it.
Yeah, you get a trophy for suffering.
Yeah. Not this, here.
You suffered the most. Here's your trophy.
No, West Coast attitude is I'm done. I'm going now. Bye. See ya.
The West Coast thing is you get a trophy for, hey, I pulled it off in 40 hours and now I'm going to go surf.
Or 14.
Or 14, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still killing it.
Yeah.
That's right, Jill.
And
I like that better.
Exactly. That's always the way I've told our children and told employees that, hey, just because it takes that guy 8 hours and it takes you four, you know, that's good. You don't have to stretch it into 8 hours. Do your four and go skate.
Yeah, literally skate.
Do your four. Now, that does not mean, well, I'm done now. I understand the concept in school. Bye, teacher. I'm leaving. I know that this is middle school, but I'm done. No, it does not mean that.
Yeah, you never want to be disrespectful, but, you know. And Jill's always, we haven't talked about it in a while. Jill has this theory that if you're banging your head against a wall and it's really hard for you, whatever you're trying to accomplish, and it's just really hard, stop it.
Yeah,
go do something else. Do something that makes sense to you. Like, if it's incredibly difficult for you to write a book, don't do that then.
Yeah.
You have this writer's block thing cracks me up. I've written a ton of stuff, and there's always three books that I'm writing in the middle of. I've never once in my life had writer's block. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's like, I can't get the words out of my head fast enough.
Right. What's one thing, Jack, that you have tried to do, like, career-wise? Think of a job that you tried and tried and tried and gave it your heart and soul, and man, it just did not come to you. Even not as a 9-to-5 job, like as an entrepreneur, what's something that you tried and really thought you could do and you said, forget it, I'm out?
A commercial real estate broker.
Oh.
It was my right when out of college. That's what I chose to do, full commission, and I did it. I made $40,000 the first year and $500,000 the second year. It was full commission, you know, and I ate ramen noodles and the whole thing, and I chucked it all, and went and worked as an acquisition person because I hated it. And here's what I hated about it: not the real estate. Love the real estate. Love the data. I love all the stuff when you're sitting in an office about everything to do with investing in real estate. What I can't stand is the people. I can't stand dealing with a client who owns 25 buildings, you know, who's doing well financially and has the power to make a decision quickly and easily, and they don't. So I have to adjust to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked away from it's not the first time. I've done this several times in my life where I've walked out of a $500,000 a year gig because I can't deal with the people. I can't politic and all the crap that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And deal with the power struggle and the whole boss thing and all. It's just not my thing.
That's good.
So I didn't necessarily not succeed at it. I chucked it. And I could do that, you know, because I didn't have children at the time. And I was living in a $400 apartment.
Right.
As it should be.
That's good.
You have choices when you don't have anyone to support and you don't have any bills. You have a lot of choices.
That's huge.
And I made those choices and I made the right ones. Not every single time.
It's huge. Sometimes you don't know. And that's one thing I tell young people is sometimes you don't know until you get into it if you're really going to like it or not. I'm sure going into it, you probably thought this was good or you wouldn't have even tested the water. But sometimes you got to get in and go, oh, this is not what I thought.
It's just like every relationship I've ever had with a girl except you. This is not what I thought this is going to be.
Not what I thought.
All the
man,
stuff that you said a month ago.
I thought the last guy was bad.
Oh my goodness.
The stuff you told me for last month, that's not true at all.
You said we were going on a vacation. You didn't tell me we were just going up to the, you know.
I think that, sweetheart, you may have misrepresented your level of psychosis.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's so funny. Ooh, you think this is a nice dinner? Oh boy, it's
right.
Not what I thought. This is how this is gonna go. It's so funny. Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so good. So.
Join us in another episode where we discuss the kids are back in school finally.
Yay!
So what are you gonna do with all this time that you have on your
hands? And we answer Luke's question about accounting software. Oh, that's exciting.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You know, some of these topics, Jillie, seem silly, but it's darn important.
I don't think they're silly. Do you think that I think they're silly?
No, I know you don't, but the six listeners we have.
Oh, well, yeah, four of them do. They emailed me.
Yeah, I failed to mention Mark Cuban, because if you go and just research him at all and listen to some of the speeches he's given, he's just a huge advocate of just living in a house with 10 guys.
Yep.
On a mattress that isn't even yours, and you know, doing what you want, and don't just make sure you don't have any bills. Do what you want. If you're a programmer and you're worth your salt in any way, you run the world right now. You don't know it, but you do.
Right. Well, the key is to. This does not mean go abandon your wife and kids and go live in your friend's garage.
No, that's not what I mean.
Say,
at all.
Hey, you guys got this? I'll be over here.
I mean, the way to not abandon your wife and kids is to not have any.
Right. This is doing it you got to do it the right way, but I just had to throw that in there because I think it's funny. Hey, you like our show? Please subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you are listening.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.